On this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
We know we exist in a quantum experience, and we are energy, and we know that time is a construct. I can see what is potentially off balance.
How do you see it? Is it like lights or something?
It's a knowing. It's a knowing. It's just like, this is what's going on. And we live in the unified field where everything is happening at once. We can rewrite our story because we exist in infinite potentiality until we ascribe a thought to it, which then creates a wave, which then creates an outcome.
Health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and much more. My name is Ben Greenfield. Welcome to the show.
Well, my elbow got a free massage for the past hour, Terry, with all this crazy muscle testing. And like I was telling you when you were doing all that crazy stuff back in the kitchen on me, I'm glad I didn't do any dumbbell side raises this morning, because that was a heck of a lot of muscle testing, baby.
You got a workout 2.0, Ben. That's my kind of workout.
Yeah, and it was really interesting, because like you've been on my podcast before, and you have some really, really cool philosophies when it comes to nutrition. So for those of you listening, Terry's been on my podcast before because she wrote a book a long time ago called The Wildatarian Diet. And I don't remember who sent it to me, but I get a lot of these diet books sent to me, of course, and half of them I don't read just because they're the same old, or, you know, they're basically somebody's special flavor of a diet that they think is the best diet for all of humankind. You know, drop the mic. And of course, we know based on biochemical individuality, right, Terry?
That's right.
That's not true, and we're definitely going to get into that today. But so I got this book called The Wildatarian Diet, and am I pronouncing that right?
That's right.
Wildatarian. And it's all about how, you know, even us in the health sector, eating grass-fed, grass-finished meats and regeneratively raised, you know, cattle and pastured chicken, even that still presents some issues in terms of what are called amyloids that can accumulate in the body. And you actually have to you have to pay even more attention to, for example, meat sources, and particularly choose wild meat when you can. And we really got into that in the last podcast quite a bit. And I won't kick that wild horse, see what I did there, to death, because I will link to that previous podcast that I did with Terry several years ago in the show notes for this podcast. And you can find the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Terry. That's T-E-R-Y. bengreenfieldfitness.com/Terry is where I'm going to link to everything. But basically, this was several years ago that I interviewed Terry about this wildatarian diet. And we'll cover some concepts of that in today's show. But today's show is, I think, going to be super interesting for you and contain information that you're really unfamiliar with that goes way beyond just like, you know, eat wild meat. And the reason for that is, since I interviewed Terry that first time, which was again all about diet, multiple people who I highly respect in the health industry have reached out to me and said, you got to work with Terry. And I have, you know, usually that's via email, and I'll write back to them and I'm like, well, I had her on a podcast. I've read her book. I freaking feature Terry in my new book, my Boundless Cookbook. I'm like,
Ben,
I don't think there's anything else Terry and I really have to talk about. Like, no, dude, she does like energy medicine work and like nutrigenomic work and all this crazy customized stuff, and even like some woo-woo ethereal, like energy, you know, medicine type of stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, man. And then people kept recommending you, Terry, over and over again.
So nice of
them. So like last year I reached out to you, and for the past year, we've been trying to connect to do another podcast and also to take a deep dive into some of this other crazy cool shit that you do. So what happened for everybody listening is, Terry actually came up to my house. She arrived last night, and we decided to just spend today and last night taking a much deeper dive into what she does. So I think that kind of sort of covers it, Terry, right?
Did a great job, Ben.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's the backstory. And so she got in last night, and My wife made some braised oxtail. That was pretty good.
Amazing. Amazing. Best braised oxtail I've ever had, truly. Braised,
it was pretty good. And I think I joked, based on the doctrine of signatures, that our butts are going to be feeling great today because we ate tail last night, baby.
Well, you sure did.
And last night, we did some super crazy stuff that I'm going to tell you guys about later in this podcast. But back to my elbow. So I've been doing these side raises with Terry all morning because Terry was muscle testing me. And before all you scientists turn off the podcast and run away because muscle testing is woo-woo, you're definitely going to want to pay attention because this was really interesting. So Terry tested me on all, so I was taking my supplements, like my Nori and my bee pollen and, you know, raw honey and Zevia, pretty much everything that might be little staples in my diet, all my supplements, all these crazy things that Terry arrived with a giant suitcase that she could test. And we've just been testing my body for all morning and learning a lot of cool stuff. So Terry, first of all, welcome to Spokane, Washington.
Thank you. It's so beautiful. First time here. May not leave. You guys are treating me so beautifully.
Yes, the other Washington, because you're from Washington, D.C., right?
I am. We went from one Washington to the other.
Yeah. And so what I want to start off with is Terry's actually got a really interesting backstory. But rather than getting into that, which I want to get into before we get into the energy medicine piece, walk me through what I just experienced, Terry, because it was really interesting.
Okay, so yes, muscle testing can be perceived as voodoo magic, but it's actually quantum biology, because at the end of the day, we are energy. And so what I did is I had you in your field, the energetic frequencies of things like neurotransmitters such as serotonin and dopamine and epinephrine, or pathogens like candida and small intestinal bacteria, and other hormones. We test everything. But what's so different around the granularity of what we did then is we also did a nutrigenomic analysis on you. So before I even got here, you had given me information around your genes.
I sent you Jess's genetic report, my son's genetic report, because when we get back from our podcast, you're going to do all the same testing on them, which I'm super excited about. But then you got access to my full genetic reports. You showed up at my house armed with all my genes, armed with this giant suitcase of stuff you could test me on, along with the things in my home, and then we launched into whatever we were just doing. So keep explaining.
Yeah, so what is beautiful about the dance between the nutrigenomic analysis and real-time feedback from your body. So the body is highly intelligent. It's a miracle machine. And so what the body does is it always tells the truth. The body cannot lie inherently. And when I put in your field, for example, streptococcus, which you did fine on, if that signature with that specific frequency interferes in your field, because we know we have a biofield that actually has been validated by the National Institutes of Health. It's this etheric field around us, which is a field of energy. We are energy.
Yeah. Human plants, even. I did a podcast about plants. Plants have a biofield. Everything in the universe has a biofield.
That's right. And that biofield operates at a certain frequency. Well, if I put into that field any substance that interrupts the circuitry of that field, then by me applying pressure to your arm, and you're a strong man and I'm a small woman, I'm a petite woman, if that interrupts the field, that your nerves can no longer fire to that muscle in your arm to say, stay strong. It totally breaks the circuit and you fail. And you saw in real time, Ben, that there's certain foods and certain other constituents that your body had no control over. And so what's so cool about this applied form of kinesiology, which is really under the tenets of my Cochrane method, we call it iterative applied kinesiology, is that we know that the genes that you have are just potentiality. Doesn't mean that they're expressed. And the beautiful work of Dr. Bruce Lipton really speaks to
the biology of belief.
Yes, love Bruce. What a dear man. It's the signal to the gene that causes the expression. And so what we found today is many of the genes that you had as potentiality had been expressed while others had not. And so what the muscle testing does, it gives us in real time feedback which of those genes are expressed and why are they expressed. And so the science behind the granularity of the methodology that you witnessed today is that it is rooted in deep biochemistry. So it's not that I'm just pulling on your arm and your arm will either stay strong or it will be failed, if you will. But we have to understand the nuance of the why. And then we have to create the antidote for the why. And so, for example, if there's a dysbiotic gut where hydrogen sulfide is high and you have a genetic polymorphism for sulfur processing mechanisms, well, sulfide is a sulfur. And if that's high and you're not able to process sulfur, then foods that contain rich sulfur, such as the crucifers, kale and broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower, are going to contribute to that burden and trip that genetic polymorphism, which then causes a neurotransmitter response, which then impacts your gut.
Right. And so, for example, a lot of people get a genetic test, like a 23andMe, or, you know, we talked about when you were doing my testing on me, my friend Dr. Ben Lynch, who has that service called Stratagene, which tests for dirty genes, or some people will get like a whole genome analysis, and it shows you all these predispositions that you have towards certain weaknesses or strengths. But then you're taking that one step further and saying, okay, what's actually manifesting when you're doing the muscle testing, like which of these genes are actually problematic for somebody?
Exactly. And not only are they problematic, why are they problematic? So the tenets of the Cochrane method goes to the four portals of gene expression. And that is pathogenic, which can be bacterial, viral, parasitic, or fungal. It can be environmental, which includes toxins, food, chemicals. And it can be emotional, an emotional burden. We know that the thought creates the thing, that we can trip genes by our thinking alone. That's the work of Dispenza. And then the last piece is a physical impact. If you get whacked in the head and your pituitary gets a little dislodged, then your whole autonomic nervous system, pituitary, I call air traffic control, being the master gland, it is going to miss signal to all of those little hormones and neuropeptides and neurohormones. So those are the four tenets of the Cochrane method that say, hey, what tripped this gene? And then the deep biochemical algorithm, which I've developed, gets us to the what can you do to rebalance that expression.
Okay, so give me an example of like a gene that when you reviewed my whole genome that I sent over to you, you observed that I had, what you tested on me regarding that gene, and then like what you would do to fix something. Because there were certain things where you're like, hell yes, like right off the bat, like candida was huge on me, histamine intolerance was big on me, sulfur, like those are three, the big ones I noted. Now, you also tested things that could fix that, right?
Yes. So for example, candida is a fungal organism. So you have the HLA-DQ2 gene polymorphism, which can lead to having a mold sensitivity. Well, mold and fungus, they play in the same playground, okay? You also have several genes for oxalate metabolism impairment. Well, oxalates actually feed on mold. Oxalates create crystals. Oxalates will create, with the mold sensitivity and a fat metabolism impairment, can create biofilm. And so what the biofilm does
oxalates
is...
oxalates from so-called healthy foods too, like almonds and spinach and stuff like that, right?
That's right. So if you have an oxalate sensitivity and you're mold sensitive and you have a fat metabolism impairment, eating almonds and spinach smoothie is kicking your butt, causing a nutrigenomic expression, and you're not going to get well. And well-meaning practitioners say, well, this is a green and almonds have great vitamin E and it's an essential fatty acid. Yeah, folks, but it's also an oxalate. And the hierarchy of needs, which is under, again, my methodology, says heck to the no on that. Get run from the oxalates, because the oxalates not only have that biofilm component, but oxalates and candida will trip a dopamine mechanism, which now you're hyperinnervated.
Well, let's say somebody like me has an oxalate sensitivity and they know like almonds and spinach make them feel like crap, or they've done some kind of testing that shows they have an oxalate sensitivity. You also tested, you had like certain vials and certain things you'd have me hold that I think are things that you would recommend for addressing an oxalate sensitivity or consuming to help you process the oxalates, right?
Yes, and that's the granularity of the dance of the body. Can this supplement that should be indicated for that individual based on that sensitivity, will that work for you? And so in your case, with the oxalate and the sulfur and the candida, P5P, which is a form of B6, is really important to help manage that sulfur and oxalate burden. Also for the fat burden, it was really important. We love the Biotics Research Beta TCP. It has betaine. It has lipase. It has
taurine. These are examples of supplement manufacturers that make supplements. You had all those in this giant suitcase that you travel with. You have me hold those, and then you test those to see if all of a sudden that weakness that manifested in me when I was like holding the almonds becomes lessened, right?
Absolutely. So that we call the antidote to the imbalance. And in real time, the body can say, I like this. This completes the circuit that was once broken by that thing you put in my field.
Now, what happens when you actually start working with people and they try this out? I don't know how much research exists behind this, but talk to me about like what people can expect if they get a genetic analysis, they go through this muscle testing, they incorporate the changes. Like, what have you noticed in your practice?
Well, even just last night, I received an email from a young lady who had been ill for 9 years, Pedram. Chaudre recommended me to her. Thank you, Pedram, if you're listening.
Yeah, Pedram's been on my podcast before. Great guy. What's the monk book that he wrote?
The urban monk.
Yeah, he wrote The Urban Monk. great book, by the way.
Yeah, it is. And so this family has been struggling. They have gone to the Mayo Clinic. They've gone to to Hopkins, to Children's. This young woman has been struggling with idiopathic disorders, meaning idiopathic, I call it idiopathic, meaning that nobody can really know why it's happening. And she has just been battered about in the system. So they flew to see me. We did a nutrigenomic analysis. We muscle tested. And in her case, again, it was very high sulfur, very high oxalate, super fat metabolism impairment, super neuro expression rooted in strep and a viral load and candida. And I received notice from her father that within 24 hours of starting the supplementation and the diet, she actually, for the first time, has eaten out and was able to walk around Washington, D.C. This child has been basically a prisoner of her home. She's, I believe, 19 for the last 9 years. And the quote was, "This is nothing short of amazing." And so that's just one of many. We just had another client of mine who reached out to me this week. Crohn's and Barrett's esophagitis. Barrett's esophagitis is a precancerous irritation of the esophagus. Crohn's is an autoimmune disease of the large and small intestine. Guess what, folks? Not anymore. They did the biopsies. It's gone.
Wow. And so when you're testing me and you're saying, okay, because you had your laptop hooked up as you were working with me, and then you had another guy taking all these notes. You were saying, okay, so Ben needs this, Ben should not eat this, Ben should take this supplement, et cetera, et cetera. When people do all this testing, like, will I get like a full list of which foods are supportive for me, which ones to avoid, and then like a customized supplementation list based on the combination of the genomics and the muscle testing?
Absolutely. We say we do everything but the shopping and cooking for you. So based on our testing, you will get a list of foods by food category, fruits, vegetables, legumes, et cetera, that tells you, it'll say, yes, this is a happy food. We don't like to say no because the body has a negative feedback loop to know. So we leave it blank because as the body heals, that may become a yes later.
Do you do blood testing and gut testing and stuff like that too to like back all this stuff up, or is it just genetics and muscle testing?
We can do it all, and I have a naturopath that works in my office, and honestly, Ben, we work collaboratively with so many doctors across the country that and we see people virtually, that a lot of the doctors will do the tests, or people come to me with literally wagon full of tests. And so we'll have a GI map, we'll have a SpectraCell. We'll have a parasitic test. We have the typical CBC, and we have all of the serum work. And a lot of it, we have found time over time, it's very corroborative. And for example,
you mean it corroborates with the genetic, yes, and the muscle testing, which from my perspective seems to be like the core of the testing that you do.
It is. And what we find, especially in a case of viral reactivation, so I'm considered a Hashimoto's expert. Hashimoto's is an autoimmune thyroiditis for hypothyroidism. Over 80% of Hashimoto's is a viral expression, re-expression. So it's typically the Epstein-Barr virus. So what we find is they fail in our office, if you will, with the Epstein-Barr vial at the thyroid, because these little bugs like to hide in certain organs. And we have the individual go to get the serum work if they want to verify it. Well, we see.
The serum work being like the blood testing to back up what you found.
Yep. And so the blood testing will show, hey, your IgG for EBV, capsid or early antigen, is through the roof. So yes, you have a reactivation of that virus or strep pneumoniae or candida albicans. Or we'll do a, oh my gosh, it's a great plain smokies where it has all of the neurotransmitters and all of the oxalate bacteria. So arabinose is a byproduct of candida, and it increases your oxalate acid. So organic acid test, that's what it's called. And so we'll see it.
Wow.
We'll see it as corroborative.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that organic acid test. But the like, I'd never had testing done before in this manner that agreed so much with other blood tests I've done, which you hadn't seen. No. All you had was my genetics and my muscle testing. So it was really interesting. It kind of leads into this whole idea of energy and intuition, which is really something that I find absolutely intriguing, especially with the work that we did last night. So what I want to do now, just so that we're not putting the cart too far in front of the horse,
the wild horse
is, you have a very interesting backstory. You have a very interesting brain. You were telling me last night about how you've been requested by certain people to do a brain scan on you just to see what's going on up in there inside Terry's cranium. So tell me about how you got into all this in the first place, because it's a really intriguing backstory.
Yes, well, it is, and I would have never thought, 20 years ago, if you would have asked me, what would you be doing? The last thing I would have said, walking down this beautiful country road with Ben Greenfield on this amazing autumn day, because I was an institutional risk manager. I did risk management, lending, and I ran a business unit for Freddie Mac and their multifamily
division. So you weren't in health at all?
No, I was in financial health. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And I was a risk manager. With the birth of my first son, by the age of 3, we were told he would never be normal. He would have brain seizures. He wouldn't grow past 5'4". We were constantly in the hospital. He was barely walking and talking. Well, it was failure to thrive. It was, again, another idiopathic. We have no idea, but your son's going to have to live on steroids and bronchodilators and more steroids and antibiotics. And he had strep throat almost 11 times his second grade year. So, yeah, it was really scary, Ben. And at first I thought, well, we can live with this, but I'm a Cuban refugee. I was born in Cuba.
You're a Cuban refugee.
I am a Cuban refugee. And my parents instilled in me is never live in the problem, find a solution. And so when we came to the States, we found a solution to be immersed into the American social fabric.
How old were you when you guys came to the States?
I was 4.
Okay.
I didn't speak English, and we went to Indianapolis, Hoosier Town, where nobody spoke Spanish for sure. But we integrated, and my parents
Indianapolis
always
seems like a logical choice from Cuba.
Of course, so similar.
Wouldn't want to choose Miami or anything like that to make the transition easier.
We had no choice. They said, "You're going to Indianapolis." We said, "We're happy to be in the U.S." So that solution-seeking mindset made me start thinking, "Well, what if it doesn't have to be this way?" I know I'm a risk manager. I put things together. I figure out the why for these complex real estate deals and make it with a good outcome. Why can't I do that for my son? So I started doing research. He's 27. He was 5 at the time. That's a long time
ago. He's 27 now.
He's 27 okay. now. He was only 5 at the time. And for 2 years, we kept falling off the cliff with allopathic medicine. And the research led me to say and know, holy moly, the food that I have been told to feed my son all of his life is literally poisoning him. And so within 5 days of eliminating wheat, corn, dairy, citrus, and peanut butter, the fungus of all funguses, the oxalate of all oxalates.
Yeah, you don't like peanut butter. I found that out.
I do not like peanut butter. He started breathing. And that was the genesis to say, hey, I'm onto something. And so by the age of 10, I had become, air quote, Dr. Terry at Freddie Mac, and people would come see me not talk about
deals.
By
the time your son was 10.
Yes. Yeah. By the time he was 10, people were asking me questions not about the risk of a deal, but the risk of their child. And so I really had this moment, Ben, when God just sits with you and says, go do something? I was meditating on a
beach. Most people ignore that.
They do, and I'm so glad I didn't. And it was crazy, but I was meditating and I was told, hey, go back and quit your job. And I did that Monday. And I was doing very well at Freddie Mac, and people thought I was nuts. But I knew that there was something, a greater calling, guiding me to do something so I could be that mother for other mothers that was told your child will be broken. And so that was the genesis of this beautiful trajectory, which I've been doing this now 16, 17 years.
Well, yeah, you're very good at it again, because I hang out with a lot of doctors and people in the healthcare network, and many of them just sing your praises. But I'm curious, in terms of after having figured this out with your son and beginning to work with some of your coworkers, did you wind up going back to school? Did you have to go? Because obviously you don't know a lot about biochemistry and microbiology and stuff like that when you're a financial analyst.
That's correct. And thank you, Ben. The good news is my grandfather was a physicist and a chemist. So somewhere in there, there were some science genes that may have been passed down. But you're right. I was in international finance. I spoke French. I did risk management. I knew you had no clue. So the great works of Dr. Jeff Bland and Dr. Joe Bizzorno, they were the first books I cracked. I studied clinical nutrition. I studied functional nutrition. I studied herbology. I studied biochemistry on my own because I didn't feel that the books were giving me enough. I looked at a complementary and applied medical program at Georgetown, and I felt that the curriculum was too myopic. Sorry, Georgetown, at the time. So after getting certain designations, I also studied cranial sacral. I started studying with shamans. I studied healing touch, because the body is not just the physical, as we'll talk more about later. And so I incorporated all these modalities. And over these years, I say to be great, we have to iterate. And my work has been ever iterative. And every day, I have a researcher on my staff. We are with the real-time feedback from our client base, based on what their bodies are telling us, we continue to make discoveries. So nothing that I'm saying or that I apply has been pulled out of thin air. We have the clinical literature that supports my theses. And what we're doing is we're taking all that wonderful academia that has not been put together, and I have woven it together into an interplay that's highly effective.
And that's what you call the Concord Method.
That's right.
Okay, because it's not just like eat wild food or get your muscles tested. It goes way deeper than that. Now we're about to go deep, because you guys, this is crazy. And this is what was really even blowing my mind even more than the muscle testing that we did this morning. So basically, Terry gets to the house last night and we got all settled in. And then we spent two and a half hours before dinner, before that wonderful braised oxtail that my wife made, along with some pumpkin pie that my kids
boys.
Made. Yeah, we eat good here. And then I'm going to feed you Cetopia Nordic blue salmon and chalk stream trout with some fish collars tonight.
I'm not leaving,
so,
Ben.
Yeah. So we'll definitely be hitting the whole wildatarian spectrum on this trip. But anyway, so we're sitting around before dinner, and you basically took me and my wife and my sons through this epic session of telling us about like our past life history and how to reprogram our subconscious and just some crazy stuff that really resonated. I mean, my wife's crying and my kids are just intrigued, you know, two 13-year-old boys who are just like absolutely enthralled with this stuff. I'm on the edge of my seat the whole time. And so you began by telling us that you've got kind of a unique brain. This is a chance for you to be a little bit narcissistic, Terry, and really explain this to people. You even said, I think you said some assistant surgeon general or something like reached out. You wanted to scan your brain, which you turned down because you didn't want to mess up these crazy skills that you have. But what's going on inside Terry's brain? Like, when did you realize that you were a little bit different in terms of this other skill that you have? And then explain what that other skill is to people.
Okay. Well, I do believe that we have it all within us, but it's the ability to recognize it, to hone it, to stay in the humility of it, and then to really, really hold it in a very safe space. And the work of Dispenza and the work of Lipton and the work of Einstein and the work of Friedman, we know we exist in a quantum experience. And we are energy. And we know that time is a construct. And so those of us that
time is a construct.
Yes.
Okay.
meaning that everything is happening in real time if we can pierce the veil of time and go into the unified field. So time as we experience it in the third dimension, which is linear and horizontal, can actually be experienced in another dimension, which is vertical, and we can pierce the veil of time. And I believe the greats, and you talked about this last night, Ben, the prodigy of Mozart, who could at four sit down and compose an entire symphony. How is that possible? He pierced the veil of time, and he pulled in what I call the universal fruit of wisdom into his physical body to achieve magnificence. And so we have the ability to do that. I believe the great mystics had the ability, the great inventors.
When you say this, you mean being able to like tap into the wisdom of like our ancestors or what we carry in our epigenetics as human beings? Is that what you're referring to? Or is it more like what they call it, morphic resonance, to where every time one human being learns something, it increases the collective intelligence of the rest of the human race? Like, what exactly are we talking about here?
I love that. I think that's both. I think that those of us that are skilled can look at an individual and see beyond the physical and see what happens in, has happened and will happen in the field and bring it into real time. And therefore, what I say when I work with people, individuals, and this is a very selective group, I don't do this with everyone, we eliminate the big rocks. So we have interferences in our eternal field, potentially, that may be keeping us from what I call our infinite potential, but we don't know it. It's stored in the subconscious, it's stored in the matrix, it's stored in the etheric field, but it's stored there.
Well, I did a podcast, and I'll link to it if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Terry with Don Wood, who I was telling you about last night, Terry. And we had a great session with him and my family where he taught us how to reprogram uncomfortable or traumatic events from our past, how to replay those like a movie in our mind, how to frame them differently, and how to shut down this so-called cell danger response that has kind of kept our physiology spinning in a sympathetic nervous system fight and flight mode, even subconsciously. And it was a fascinating session that we did with him. But then what you did, and I thought at first it was going to be kind of like that, but it was different. You actually sat there, and one by one, for each of us, my wife, my sons, and me sitting at the table, you actually read into like a previous life's history, and it just, it's way over my head, but tell me what it is that you were doing, how you acquired this skill, and like, how is this any different than, like, don't be offended, but like going to the fortune teller at the circus, you know, like I realize that's an involved question, but we got time.
Yeah. Thank you for the time. So let's go back. How did I get into this and how did this happen for me? Well, I believe I've always been a very intuitive human being. Even from a little girl, I used to have dreams when I would pull bad stuff out of people. I was only 10. I would take this magical rope and I would pull it from their gut. I remember that. In high school and college, I was always the girl that people went to with their troubles. Even at Freddie Mac, people would come to me and I would help soothe them. But it was really when it really went off the hook, if you will, into an exponential expression, is when I became seriously ill almost 5 years ago from a life transition that was occurring in my life. And I was told, Terry, you have a 15% chance of surviving. And if you do, you will be broken.
A 15% chance of like surviving physically?
Yeah, surviving.
Like you were
physically
sick?
I was that sick. I had liver damage.
What did you have?
Liver damage, brain damage, brain encephalopathy. I had heart inflammation.
Was it like a car accident or something?
No.
Or this just
no,
stuff that
no,
built up?
Nobody could figure it out. They thought I had all sorts of bacteria. They were wrong. I was on IV antibiotics, IV steroids, IV antibiotics, IV steroids. I was on all these. They thought I had Rocky Mountain spotted fever and Lyme. They got it wrong. I had a reactivation of what I call the seven dwarfs, but nobody would test me, but I was testing in-house. And at that time, I wasn't the viral expert that I am now. What I learned was my stress response tripped seven viruses in me, causing this deleterious.
Seven viruses, is that the seven dwarfs?
The seven dwarfs.
Oh, yeah, tell me about that.
CMV, HSV-126. We had the Coxsackie, we had the varicella zoster, we had the, oh my goodness.
You had all these viruses.
All these viruses through blood work were confirmed.
Okay.
And I was writing my Wildatarian book at the time. And made me rewrite my book. Because I learned that being wild would de-express the viral load. And also, the biggest thing was surrendering to the situation at hand. And this is when I surrendered, and this is true, I surrendered to God, and I let Him take it. I call that my period of animated suspension. So during this multiple month period of animated suspension, I believe I was given a gift. It was actually, my gift was illuminated.
Okay.
And when I...
This is a gift you've had since you were 10.
Yes.
5 years ago, you went through a health crisis. Yes. That allowed you to begin tapping into this gift with more depth.
With more depth, with more precision. And all of a sudden, I come out of it and I have much more insight, much more ability, much more awareness. And again, because I'm a woman of faith and I really listen, I'm a curious listener. I listen to what I'm being guided to do. And I usually, if I don't listen, there's always, I'm going to stub my toe. But if I listen, I have clear paths ahead. And that listening was, okay, you got to create a program because you're onto something. And within 6 hours of creating this program, I had my first two clients, which I hadn't even solicited. And then over these last 5 years, as I've touched lives, the skill has further evolved.
And you kind of like pair it with the genomics analysis, yes, which was super interesting because last night, and I actually want to, maybe we'll use me as an example. Okay. You know, you're like, oh, Ben, you have this gene, and this is who you were in a past life, and this is how you're programmed, and then you got this thing going on with your father, and just like all sorts of crazy stuff. But is there a name for, is that called intuiting? Is it called like oracling? Like what's the name for what? For what
I've been called a medical intuitive.
Okay, medical intuitive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And how would you describe what a medical intuitive is?
Well, I think I'm an intuitive in general, but I can see things in your field. Like I saw it in one of your organ systems last night, and I was able to bring it home with the biochemistry on the third dimension, but also the why in the other dimensions.
Wait, so when you meet somebody, you could see their energy field?
I can see what is potentially off balance. I don't see
How do you
fields.
See it? Is it like lights
it's
or something?
It's a knowing. It's a knowing. It's just like, this is what's going on. And I've done these hundreds and hundreds of cases now where I'm still in wonderment how precise it is. And so that's allowed me to help people get over idiopathic sleep disorders. I had a one woman who... No pharmacotropic would help her get past her sleep disorder. And we went and we rewrote her situation in the quantum, and she's been sleeping like a baby.
Okay, explain to me. What'd you do with her?
So we were able to discern that she stopped sleeping after the birth of her first daughter. She had three girls at the time. I was able to see in her field that this woman had these daughters in another life, and she lost them in a fire. She couldn't get to them. And so, in this life...
And this could have been like dozens or hundreds of years ago.
Yes, exactly.
But you know, because you're like last night, you were saying like actual dates.
Yes.
Like when you were working with my wife, you're like, yeah, 2005.
Yes.
And my wife's crying because she's remembering all this stuff that you're bringing up.
Yeah.
But you actually can get that specific in terms of the actual event.
Yes, I can. And that's a gift. And so, with that, we were able to, in the quantum, everything exists in vertical time, which you can rewrite the story, which is the neural reprogramming in essence. And so with that neural reprogramming, instead of her daughters dying in a fire, she was able to capture them. And I remember it. I see it in my mind's eye right now. She used a rug. She lived on the prairie. She used a rug to thwart the fire from entering the home. She was able to come out of it. And she started sleeping that night. And she has been sleeping since.
Wow.
That's just
my wife's already super excited based on the work that you did with her, and just because she's not out here with us, and we'll keep her we'll just say issues private for now in terms of what you discovered about her. For another illustrative example, explain to me what you did with me. So I'm sitting there at the table. Just walk us through the whole thing.
Okay, and I can be completely transparent.
Oh yeah, I don't care. People on my podcast know I inject stem cells into my dick. They don't care about us talking about some previous life I had or whatever.
All right. So with Ben, I was able to see he's a man of great power. He's a man of great faith. He's a man of great purity. And he received downloads. He lived in many other, as a mystic in another, probably in the 14th,
15th. As a mystic.
Yes. Someone who received downloads, and you were a prolific writer, which I didn't know. I said, all I saw was you wrote so much, you were bloody.
Yeah, you didn't even know at the time when you're doing this. You didn't know much about me and my family at all until you walked in last night and started telling us stuff about ourselves. There's no way you could have known.
No.
But yeah, I mean, like, that's... If there's one thing when people sit next to me on an airplane and I'm lazy and I don't want to explain to them that I, like, you know, do supplements and invest and, you know, and freelance and podcasts, I just tell them I'm an author, right? Because that's what I like to do the most ever since I was a little kid is write. And so you start to analyze me about me being a mystic, like in the 1500s, writing until my hands were... Anyway, keep
yeah,
going.
Yeah, so you're a writer and you had flow, but the information coming down, much like Mozart, in your case, it was getting caught in your body. And so, because the information download was so grand, and if the body, the vessel can't capture it, it will have an impact. And so, as then I went into your field in the present day, I said, well, Ben, what I'm seeing is a mineralization of your kidneys. And I said, sometimes it's getting stuck in your kidneys, and the kidneys have this ability to capture kidneys and gallbladder. They capture things and they encapsulate. And so I believe you're over-mineralized, to which your son spouted, you'd had a mineralization issue.
That's right. I have passed a gallstone recently.
So there was the validation of the mineralization.
And I do get a little bit of gout in my big toes, too, which is probably related to the oxalate thing we were talking about earlier.
There you go. So that was the thing. And then I saw again, and it's just, it's a knowing. I said, it has something to do with a family member.
Yeah, you said like a fishing trip when I was 9 years old where I was punished. And I know that you talked to me, and later on tonight we're going to do a little bit more work around this issue and see what we... But you're basically sitting there like seeing, like literally just like straight face sitting across from the table telling us this stuff. Again, like no offense, but like a fortune teller at a circus.
Yes. However, I've been called a spiritual scientist. And so one of the things that I have been really careful about, and this is why I'm now coming out broadly about this on your podcast, is that I've always led with science, because science is understood. This mysticism, which is really quantum work, is less understood. Although 2021, with this pandemic and world being upside down, more and more people are coming into this world and really saying, hey, I need something more. I need something bigger. And so...
Right, and let's face it also, it wouldn't be so profound if it were all provable, because, and I talked with Charles Eisenstein about this when I interviewed him about his book Sacred Economics, there are certain things that when you try to explain them completely away with science or reducing them down to individual particles, you basically strip the sacredness out of them. And so, you know, faith and some of this stuff that might seem a little bit woo, it actually is so important because it is sacred. And by the nature of its sacredness, isn't necessarily something we can do double-blind, you know, human clinical research studies on.
Absolutely. And this is why this past Surgeon General, who experienced a very profound positive experience with me that had a biochemical, almost immediate physiological response for him. And he does. He's all into the modalities. He's like, wow.
This is the guy who wanted to scan your brain to figure out what's going on that makes your brain so different that allows you to be able to read people like this, like a book.
That's right. He's like, this is medicine 3.0. This is precision medicine. I'm not a doctor, so I can't claim it as medicine. But I do work with a lot of doctors. And he's like, Terry, is this replicatable? And how are you the only person that can do this? I don't believe that's true. But he wanted to scan, especially when I was in that ability, when I, just like last night, where do you go and how do your neuronal pathways shift so that you can access this information. For me, it doesn't matter.
Did you actually get your brain scanned, by the way?
Nope, I won't. I won't. But what I do know is the proof is in the pudding. And when we have hundreds and hundreds of cases where these unresolved issues... I just had someone, okay, this is another one. This is a beautiful story. I didn't even tell you about this one. This is a woman who has availed herself of some of the best medical doctors in the country for over 15 years. She has myasthenia gravis. That is a neurodegenerative condition. When I met her, she was down to 85 pounds. She had to be fed with a dropper, carried to the bathroom, and she was deteriorating. And this is after functional medicine, stem cell therapy, hyperbaric chambers, everything. We did the nutrigenomic analysis, we applied the supplementation, but there was something in her field that was keeping her in a pattern of autonomic nervous system orientation, keeping her in fight or flight. And the Cochrane method is you start with calm the body first. No psychotropic, no supplementation could have helped her get over it. The combination, 6 weeks later, she's eating. 6 months later, she's back. She's broken 100 pounds. 9 months later, she is well. This is after 15 years, Ben. 15 years.
And what did you do with her? Same thing?
Same thing. It was a combination of the biochemistry, the nutrigenomics, the bioindividuality, but we had to get to that impenetrable. And I was working with her naturopath out of Atlanta, and he agreed that there was something in her patterning that was making it impossible for her to heal.
Okay, so back to what you were doing with me. So you're like, I'm a scribe, 1500s, I'm writing. Like, what do you then do with all that information? Because it's interesting, you know, and I know for a lot of people who are listening, maybe a little bit unbelievable, but what then do you do with that information when you're saying, okay, so this is where you were in a past life, for example?
So what it does is, now tonight we'll finish this, right? And we know that you were a receiver, you were a vessel for higher level information.
I was like downloading information from some source and then writing it furiously.
Yes. And now what we have to do is to have your body be able to be in the flow without resistance, that your vessel can capture it. I know this sounds completely crazy, but we have to create a venue for you. And in this lifetime, there was an event that hit that tuning fork that made you hold on, right?
And meaning made it so that I have this information that I have the ability to be able to download, to be able to write really good shit for people, mm-hmm. but I'm a little bit held back from being able to fully manifest that and flow into as deep and meaningful writing as I could actually be giving to people because I have these previous life history events that have kind of like closed me up a little bit.
Yeah, and in this lifetime, and also what it's doing is on a biochemical perspective, you're actually building stuff, you're capturing it. Instead of letting it flow through you, it's being caught in the field. And that field is in your biochemical field, so you're building stones.
So that's where I've got like over mineralization.
Yes.
So this is where like the physical is tied to the spiritual, because spiritually I'm basically programmed to be a certain person, and then there are certain things holding me back from doing that. Thus, that's manifesting in biological issues that if we get rid of the I guess like what's holding it back, so to speak, the block.
That's right.
It then allows me to step into my full potential as an impactful human being.
Yes, and I've worked with people where we've had number one best-selling albums, where they've written number one best-selling New York Times best-selling books, and also people that have had family crises that they get out of. This young lady with the myasthenia gravis, she's not famous, but she's going to have a life now. For 15 years, she didn't have a life. And she was told, you're not going to have a life. And so this is the beauty of this. And again, it was this other thought leader that dubbed me spiritual scientist, because I've never met her. We even did proxy testing from, she lives in Portugal, and she had Meniere's disease. She had crystals in her ear. And we did, we do the whole gamut with her. And then we were able to get rid of it, but she has grown into an even bigger situation. She even changed her name. Her life was changed so profoundly.
Tell me about this 11-year-old girl you were talking about last night, because I thought that story was fascinating.
Okay, so that's kind of this is where you get crazy gets crazy on steroids, right? But it's like you have proof. So I was working with a young lady who I work with the family. Clinically, I've worked with them for years. I work with the mom at this level, at the quantum level, and her daughter was having this recurrent nightmare that was impacting her current life. And so she asked me, would you take on an 11-year-old to do this work? And I thought, okay, well, how am I going to make her even be conscious about what we're doing? So it just so happened she'd had read A Wrinkle in Time by Madeleine Engel, and this is where you wrinkle time. And so I effectively said,
that's the name of a book, A Wrinkle,
yes,
in Time.
A Wrinkle in Time.
That should be the name of your next book. Should be Time Wrinklers.
I love it. That's great. Thank you. So we went in. I was able to go in her dream with her. I was able to even visualize the color of the It was in the 1920s. The color of the seat of the car she was in, her perpetrator, who was
killing her. This is like a previous life of hers in the 1920s.
That's what I felt. Yeah. That's what I saw. And, you know, one of the things that we can think about then, whether this is true or not, I'm tuning into a resonance in that girl's field that is causing this neurological disprogramming, if you will, right? It's a break that was causing her much angst in her life. And in this recurrent dream, she kept getting killed by this perpetrator in the dream. Well, because in vertical time, and we live in the unified field where everything is happening at once, we can rewrite our story because we exist in infinite potentiality until we ascribe a thought to it, which then creates a wave, which then creates an outcome. So we rewrote the story. That perpetrator, we rewrote it such that he was taking her to a field, an open field, to target shoot. And instead of being her perpetrator, he was a protector because he was teaching her how to carry a gun, use it appropriately to protect herself. Well, this was during COVID. She was at her home in her bedroom with her mom. As soon as that we get out of our session, we were wrapping up the session, and she's like, "Wait, Mom, I gotta go show you something." So in her little box, she had from the year before, she had won the expert marksman shooting at her summer camp, having never shot a rifle. She had never showed this to her parents. Her issue went away. And so, is that coincidence? Possibly. But the fact that she had never shown her parents anything by wrinkling time, something that happened in the past, which was actually the future, affected her present day. And she had evidence. Now,
do you think when you're going in and you're rewriting someone's history like that, it's actually rewriting history, or instead rewriting what their subconscious has perceived or still holds on to as a historical incident? And kind of like the work we did with Don Wood,
yes,
like reframing that to be something funny or something you shouldn't, yes, care about so much, or something that wasn't as traumatic as you actually thought it was. Is it like restructuring the way or reframing the way you think about something, or do you think you're actually like changing history when you're going in with this time wrinkling concept?
Yeah, the time wrinkling concept, I have no idea. I can't answer that question with any veracity or evidence. But what I do believe is actually happening is there's a neural reprogramming that's occurring. The work of Joe Dispenza, where he actually programmed his body to get from a paraplegic to, you know, an international known thought leader in the world of neuroscience.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know who he is, read the book Supernatural. It's really interesting. Okay, so and then what I think is fascinating is you're then taking this ability to be able to intuit and see someone's history of either past lives or current lives, things that are affecting them psychologically and emotionally. Then you tie that into the genetics component.
Yes.
You know, for example, for me as somebody who has a real bent towards creative writing, mm-hmm, and these, so, you know, getting so-called downloads, mm-hmm, which I get, you know, just random ideas coming into my head that are super clear, almost as though God is talking to me,
yes,
and I want to write those and flow with those. Basically, there's a genetic component too. Like, I have certain genes that support that type of activity.
Yes, you actually have the OXTR gene, which makes you really highly empathic. That means that you feel energy more than some and more than most. And so there is a gene for that. Also, the COMT gene, which has to do with the way that we manage our catecholamines, which are our neurotransmitters. So when we're highly neurological, what that does is it gives us exposure to connecting to some level of energy, which is electricity, because we're highly neuro, and I work with a lot of autism. And these kids have very similar genetics, because they're highly neuro, and they're so neuro, and they're so crispy fried, if you will, because their neurology is not managed through an insulation of the myelin sheath or a programming of that executive functioning, that dopamine, that epinephrine, that serotonin, and then, which is really pathogen or an environmental toxin that had some component as a contributory effect. Mm. Hmm. We see this, and these kids are highly neurological.
Now, this doesn't seem like it's something that's very scalable. It's like you can't actually do this for everybody with this unique skill that you have, just because there's not enough, you know, time in a day. But where do you envision this going in terms of being able to take what you know and this system that you've developed and actually be able to teach other people how to do that? Or is that even the vision? Like, could you take someone off the streets, kind of like the CIA's old MK Ultra, you know, mind experimentation protocols, and say, okay, we're going to teach you how to intuit or how to distance heal or how to, like, you know, use telepathy or whatever. Like, is any of this stuff teachable?
I believe it is. Some of my R3 clients, that's the name of it, Repattern, Restore, and Reclaim is the R3. That's the program that we've been talking about. I've seen it in several of those individuals that I've worked with for a while. What's really scalable is, and this is where my focus is, because this work that we're talking about is such a small part of my work, because it is one-to-one, is the Cochrane Method on its own. It stands. It's such a pillar of the next generation of bio-individualized precision wellness. And, you know, the thousands and thousands of clients that have come through my door over these various almost 20 years, and I have trained 4 individuals, some clinical, some not. My naturopath in my office, she's the only naturopath in the world trained under the Cochrane Method. She is a secret weapon. Because
she knows how to intuit and do these type of things you're doing, plus the medicine?
She has the medicine. She has the intuitive. She may not have the caliber of my intuition, but the work itself in yours to be intuitive, because we're working with energy and biochemistry and nutrigenomics and musculoskeletal and anatomy physiology. It's a multidimensional, future-facing model that works.
Let's say you were going to teach me to do what it is that you do. Would you just, like, sit me in a room and say, okay, I'm going to sit here, can you tell what I'm thinking right now? Or, you know, when you close your eyes, what pops into your head about me? Like, where'd you even begin to teach something like this?
Yeah, the R3 and the intuition teaching is something that I have more kind of on the back burner for maybe late in the 2020s. Because what we're facing right now, the bigger picture is we need precision health that can get people well in a matter of weeks where other models have failed. And so I have various doctors that have actually started shadowing me in clinic to see the effect of how this method works. I am writing modules that we hope to launch in 2022 to bring this to scale. I can't tell you, Ben, the number of doctors, renowned doctors, who...
Oh yeah, like people who have approached me, who have worked with you, are household names in medicine. I'll just say that. And so, you know, for me to have you come all the way out to my house, because I get people hitting me up all the time to do podcasts and stuff, speaks volumes. Simply because it's something where you've got a lot of street cred. But I was just curious if there's a way to teach it, and furthermore, is there a way for people to experience something like this without necessarily having to, have you out to their house? Like, could you do something like this on Skype, for example, this type of intuiting?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we can. And we do muscle testing by proxy, proxy being we have a proxy that stands in for the individual. And we've seen people from all over the world.
Oh, so like Portugal, what we did this morning, you would have, like, my wife doing the muscle testing and then you're, like, on Skype?
Yeah, so actually, no, we have someone in my staff, like the gentleman who was supporting us. My staff member will be the proxy for the individual wherever they stand in the world. And short of that, we do, because of a nutrigenomic analysis and the precision within the Cochrane Method, for example, because of your podcast, I work with the owners of Body Bio now as a medical advisor for them, because they both came to me to get better. And I've never met them until just very recently. We looked at their nutrigenomics, we looked at their symptomology, they got better. And so the nutrigenomics and the Cochrane Method alone, absent the muscle testing by proxy just gets super granular. But we've seen people even outside of the proxy. The proxy started during the
pandemic. Yeah, when you say by proxy, you'll have your assistant there in the room with you. You muscle test them,
yes.
But then somebody else is on the call with you, and it's really that other person on the
yes.
call who's being muscle tested,
yes.
Which also sounds kind of woo.
It
there's
is
some scientists
woo.
Who are probably
Again,
laughing their ass off at you right now.
I know that you may laugh at me, but there's a unified field. There's no space and time. There's no separation. We know remote viewing happens, right? The government uses it. It's just not mainstream. But absent
yeah,
that,
that's that book by Annie Jacobson. Was it called Paranormal, I think?
Yes.
Like how, like the American military and government, for example, has been trying to figure out how this stuff works for literally like 100 years and trying to train people to do it. And it's still one of those things. And the book is super interesting. I was telling you about this last night, Terry.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
There's certain people along the way they've run into who are kind of like you, who just like can do this stuff, like close their eyes and see like where a submarine is halfway across the world, and they still have no clue how they're actually doing it.
Exactly. So, yes, this may, to all you listeners out there, this may sound so far off field that you think this is discredited. I will tell you, I lead with science first, and the Cochrane Method is rooted in everything deeply scientific. And that's why it's going to scale, because so many doctors want to know why we get the results we get and people stay well.
Hmm. I want to go back a little bit to the dietary component of this, because I think it's really interesting. And I hinted at this early on in the podcast, and you and I talked about this a little bit the last time that I interviewed you. This whole idea of, I think you called them amyloids.
Yes.
And how important those are when it comes to specifically like the type of meats that you're eating. Can you explain like why it is that you're so into like pretty much obsessed with wild meat?
Yes. Again, my clients become my greatest teachers. Almost a decade ago, I had a gentleman who was dying from end-stage amyloidosis. I didn't know what that was. It was a rare form of cancer, and the amyloids had wrapped around his heart. Two rounds of chemo had.
And what's an amyloid?
An amyloid is a truncated protein structure, and it's measured by light chain. So amyloidosis is an aggregation of amyloids that can become rogue cells, and in his case, it became cancerous. Amyloids have also been tied to Alzheimer's, to Parkinson's. It's also been tied to kidney disease, to diabetes. It's all in my book.
Right. Like the amyloid plaques you hear about with dementia and
exactly.
Alzheimer's.
Exactly. Okay. In his case, Glenn, he was told, we're giving you your last rites. And go home and transition. And somehow they'd learned about me. And they came to me and they said, you know, he's dying. Maybe food can help because we've been told there are no other options. And he came in a wheelchair and oxygen. He was a very frail man, but he was dying. At that time, I had an NIH researcher who had been trained in genomic analysis and nutrigenetic analysis. I said, Sarah, go out and try to figure out what is going on with amyloids. Where do they come from? We found studies, multiple studies, that say, hey, guys, our food supply is making these amyloids part of our meal. And it was the crowding conditions of the animals that were creating these indigestible protein structures in their bodies that were not broken down by
How is it that in a crowded, like a CAFO food lot, you would see different type of amyloid patterning than you would in like a pastured cow?
We believe that it is the stress response that builds these amyloid plaques. And chicken, as you know, Ben, I've called it the dirty bird.
Yeah, you don't like chicken.
I don't like chicken.
Why is that?
Chicken's the most studied. It's the most crowded. And anecdotally in our
So it's
practice,
not all chickens. It's chickens that are raised in cages.
Chicken raised in cages, but even pasture fed. We don't know why. I believe that if you do a heritage bird, it'll be okay. But chicken has also become an inflammatory omega-6. It's been linked to increasing E. coli. Part of my discovery was that these amyloids will reactivate viral loads. And these amyloids build biofilm. And the biofilm feed the viruses, and the viruses feed the biofilm. I call it the ping pong effect. So it's affecting this cascade of deleterious impacts to the body, and then these pathogens create a genetic expression. Again, back to the Cochrane Method. So with Glenn, he was so debilitated.
Glenn is the guy who had the amyloidosis.
Yes, the amyloidosis. We had to make him vegan because his kidneys were failing, but he was a wildatarian vegan. He couldn't do sulfur. He couldn't do oxalates. He couldn't do turmeric because he has that CYP2D6 gene. People out there, know your genes. If you're taking turmeric, it may be good. It may not be good. I'm one of those. Turmeric kicks my butt. So we were able to, in 3 months, bring his light chains down to normal. he was then able to continue.
What's a vegan wildatarian diet look like? Like, what kind of stuff would you eat?
This is great because we can actually make you, we're equal opportunity. It's a very bio-individualized plan. So he was eating pinto beans, not black beans because they were oxalates, brown rice, not white rice, a lot of the root vegetables because they're neither oxalate nor sulfur. He was eating plantains for his gut. He was doing a lot of broths, but not from non-wild meat. Dr. Stephanie Seneff has shown that, you know what, amyloids hide in bone marrow. So careful, folks, if you're eating, if you're taking a domesticated bone and you're making broth because it's going to be good for you, maybe not. So know your broth basics in terms of where the bone comes from.
Know the source of the meat.
Yes,
now,
exactly.
Now, when it comes to wild meat and knowing, I know you have certain sources that you're into, but can you tell me how exactly, like you personally live in Washington, freaking D.C., like how do you eat wild in D.C.? Like how does that actually look for you?
So the way I eat wild is I have my beautiful organic butcher, Hi Don, if you're listening, and he sources from specific providers. Now, when I say wild, it doesn't mean that we have to go out and hunt, but...
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, does it have to be, like, skipping around in a field somewhere, or can it just be, like, a regeneratively raised cow?
Regeneratively raised in a pasture-fed, pasture-finished, and their ancestor was not a feedlot cow, because we know transgenerationally DNA transfers. And we have found, and again, through thousands of outcomes, when you go wild and you reduce the amyloid burden, people get better. And Glenn is here to happily talk about it almost a decade later. And they told him it would return in 1 year, in 18 months, in 2 years. And it hasn't.
Okay, so Glenn was obviously kind of a weird case, doing like the vegan wildatarian. Walk me through what like a gold standard type of average day of breakfast, lunch, dinner style eating
Perfect.
Would be for like one of your model clients.
Yes, and I will say, as we got Glenn stronger, he's a high-fat, low-sulfur wildatarian, so he's eating all sorts of lamb and fish and bison.
Oh, so he's doing meat again then.
Yeah, he's doing meat again. It's just when he's in that delicate nature. And this is the thing. People think that if I'm eating this way, I have to be eating this way forever. That's not true. We eat to our genetic blueprint and our current state of health. Super important, our current state of health.
Right, the same way you would do like a paleo autoimmune diet for 8 to 12 weeks to heal the gut, but then maybe later reintroduce vegetables and more fibers or a small amount of seeds and nuts or things like that.
Exactly, but again, based on that genetic blueprint, because if you introduce a lot of seeds and nuts to a fat malabsorption tendency individual, you're going to bring them right back to square one, which is not where they wanted to be.
Okay, so back to what a typical day of eating would look like.
So a typical day of eating, let's just talk about me, okay? So I'm a low sulfur, low oxalate wildatarian. My body likes eggs though, because it has choline in it, and my brain, we call acetylcholine brake fluid for the brain, and eggs are rich in choline. So I love,
even though they have sulfur in them too,
even though they have sulfur, because I've modulated my sulfur processing. Will I eat eggs every day? No, but I eat them once a week. So I'll do eggs with avocado. My body loves salmon. My body needs the fat for the brain. I eat butter like it's cheese. So salmon with avocado and tomato in a lettuce wrap. A buckwheat pancake with lots of butter and pear. I can't do berries very well because of the oxalate nature. For lunch, I usually have what I had the night before. So if I have lamb with sweet potatoes, or a bison chili, or a venison tenderloin with a wonderful asparagus and bib lettuce and fresh tomatoes with mozzarella.
How careful does somebody who's having dinner from the night before as leftovers the next day need to be if they have a histamine issue? Because I've heard, like, histamine don't do leftovers, but how big of a deal? Is that, like, 3 days later, or what's the deal with histamines and leftovers?
Great question. So, yes, leftovers will increase the histamine burden, but it also depends on what the original food is. If you have tuna, tuna is naturally high histamine. If you have tuna and you wait 3 days with that tuna fish sandwich or tuna fish salad, that's not a good thing.
My kids do that all the time. They take out the wild Planet tuna, they make themselves like a tuna melt, and then 3 days later, they'll remember they left the tuna in the fridge and take it back out. They shouldn't be doing that.
Not with a high histamine.
Especially with like a canned fish.
Right. Not a canned. Yeah. Canned fish is not going to be great. But if you have a low histamine food, then you can do, if you have a really high histamine load, I would say after 24 hours, don't risk it. 3 days is the outside, really outside. But I would say 24 hours with a low histamine.
And you're into supplements too. Like, there were a few supplements during our muscle testing that you were like, dude, this is a hell yes for you. And, you know, like, comma, this has worked for a ton of my clients. What are some of the supplements that you find, like, people tend to need on a repeated basis when you're doing this kind of testing?
Okay, so I have developed some supplements because it's all a symphony, and I look to these supplement processes as if you trip one bad ingredient for a genetic predisposition can flip the whole outcome of that supplement blend. So we talked about, for you, my stress mover. It's been called a God pill.
You call it a stress mover, but you also call it a God pill. What's that?
I didn't coin it the God pill. That was one of my clients who was eating only rice for 18 months. Brown rice is all she could tolerate. She'd been to every GI specialist in the mid-Atlantic and through Miami. And what she was experiencing was a neurological haywiring of her gut. So the stress mover is to calm the system. It calms the system. It helps shunt the HPA axis. It modulates histamine response. It modulates the burden of epinephrine, which, Ben, as you know, we were talking earlier, I call it the dirty cupcake, because epinephrine is something that's secreted by the adrenals when we get stressed. And we know that epinephrine increases the fat burden on our body. So if you're already predisposed to fat metabolism impairment, you're going to get scroogled. It opens up the tight junctions of your gut, leaking your gut. It increases the pathogenicity of whatever bugs you got going.
But you mean like excess epinephrine,
excess,
right?
Excess, yes. No, okay. I mean fight or flight. You know, if we're trying to run from that antelope in one of your hunting events, you got to use that epinephrine to get those muscles fired. But it's that slow drip.
I don't run from antelopes. I run from lions.
Okay, got it. I would too. So when we are over-secreting that epinephrine and it's out of modulation, that can be a big problem. So stress mover has helped so many individuals.
And what's in that one again?
So what we love about the stress mover, it has taurine. Why is taurine so important? Studies show that taurine helps blunt the HPA axis. That's a fight or flight response. It is a precursor to dopamine, the feel-good executive functioning, calm the system, neurotransmitter. It helps with bile synthesis. Why is bile synthesis so important? It's so important because bile is what is the emulsifier. And guess what? These little bugs hide in biofilm. It helps break down the fat.
It sounds to me like something like stress mover kind of works for a ton of people.
It does. It really, really does.
Is there any others? Like, it seems like a couple of the ones you were testing me on, like camp over and over again, and you were like, yeah, this is an amazing one. I think one was like P5P.
So P5P, that's wonderful. That's a form of B6. So the B6 helps to modulate, in your case, the sulfur and the oxalate burden. So really, really important for you because of what you're experiencing. Another one that's really good, we talked about, again, for you, emulsifiers. Things that contain betaine, that contain lipase, that contain taurine.
That would be like a really good digestive enzyme complex, that type of thing?
Yeah, so that's an enzyme, but it's also a fat metabolizing supplement. We like dandelic acid for you because it's a biofilm breaker and also manages.
What kind of acid did you say?
I never pronounce it right. I like Thorn, SF722.
SF722, just go with the C3PO name. That's like undecyclic acid, something like that.
Yes, undecyclic, thank you. Okay. Really good as an emulsifier. Really good for that burden. We really liked for you the choline inositol. Why is that so important? If you have the MTHFR-C677T gene polymorphism, you recycle fats, you recycle estrogen. And with the COMP gene has to do with that catecholamine. You're going to not have that choline. You need choline to manage that. And choline inositol specifically, especially if there's a fat burden, not all cholines are created equal. If you're super fat malabsorbed and you give somebody phosphatidylcholine, which is fat-based, you could really be doing them harm rather than good.
Yeah, so it gets super precise when you combine the muscle testing with the genomics. Now, do you use like a certain software when you're like when you get somebody's genes, if they or are you doing? Because some people will get like a 23andMe, right, and export the raw data and send them to someone like you. Like, is that a good way to go, or what's the ideal way to actually get the DNA, and what software do you use to run it?
Yeah, so my naturopath manages all of the DNA analyses. We use methylgenetics. But then we add the Cochrane Touch to it.
Methylgenetics is the name of the software?
Yes.
And then when you say you add the Cochrane Touch, what's that mean?
The Cochrane Touch is, as I explained to you, as we were going over your genetics, I said, okay, well, people will say, okay, I've got this gene, so I'm going to supplement with, let's say you have the MTHFR-C677T gene. I'm going to supplement with B12 because you need B12. No, you don't, because you got to look at the symphony of the genes. You can overmethylate Ben, so if you're doing a lot of B12, you can make yourself hyperactive, hyper over-enervated. So we have to look at this constellation of what are the symptoms, what is the overarching, and we talked about those three big things, right, based on the way that I interpret.
And then the three big things again are?
For you.
Oh, for me personally, yeah. You said sulfur, oxalates, and what, histamine?
The histamine and the fat burden.
Yeah, yeah, which is going to be super interesting for me to work on. Now, I think that the nutrition piece, your book, have you updated your book at all, The Wildtarian Diet?
No, I've just been too busy.
Yeah, well, it's still a good book. It's relevant. And again, I'll link to the other podcast because Terry and I, we spent like an hour just talking about nutrition alone in the last show that we did. So if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Terry, T-E-R-I, I'll link to that. But I had another thing I wanted to run by you, Terry, mm-hmm. that I was kind of thinking about last night. Like, how do you know, with back to the whole past life thing, mm-hmm. how do you know that it's a past life or if it's just like something epigenetic from somebody's ancestor, right, that they're still carrying in their genes? Because, like, I personally don't believe in reincarnation, for example. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that we carry everything from emotions to, you know, to history, to skills, to powers, to all sorts of stuff that have been passed on to us through our genes by our ancestors. How do you know when you see stuff like this that it's not just like somebody's ancestor, you know, whatever, dicking around in the 1500s or anything, yeah. or that it's a past life, or do you know?
So I think that the answer is it doesn't matter, right? Because ultimately what your physiology and all
your... Well, it matters to a certain extent. I'm gonna push back into it a little bit here.
All right.
Just like, because, so my belief, and I'm going to be just radically mm-hmm. honest with you, I think that if I believe in reincarnation, it kind of negates the need for what, for me, is like a core part of Christianity, which is that, like, Christ died for our sins and suffered on the cross to grant us the gift of eternal life. But if we already had eternal life anyways, because we could have just died and become somebody else,
right.
then what the heck did Jesus Christ get tortured and crucified for? Right. So that's where the sticking point is for me, you know, and I'm like, well, I could totally see how this could be like ancestral mm-hmm. in the DNA, but the whole past life thing was kind of throwing me for a loop.
Okay. So as you know, Ben, I'm an ordained Presbyterian elder.
Yeah.
And so I'm Christian core. And so I have done multiple research and readings on what is this all about, right? So I agree with you on that basis, but there's also a lot of research that shows potentially that we are here more than once. So the University of Virginia did a research study on that just about 5 years ago with Japanese children.
How do you even research that?
You know, I didn't read that specific research paper, but it's out there. The work of Brian Weiss speaks to that. So
Weiss, is that W-E-I-S-S?
W-E-I-S-S.
Yes, he has a bunch of books. I think you were talking about those last night, the Past Lives books.
Yes, he's a Many Lives, Many Masters, a Yale-trained psychiatrist who has 40 years of information on this. So to your point and why I say it doesn't matter, because if you're stuck on the is it really a past life versus not, my goal is to have you be in your infinite potential. And so I work within your paradigm so you can release any of those held in your matrix interferences, right?
Right. So basically what you're saying is, you know, you're looking at the outcome, you're looking at the fruits, and you know all you know is like you can fix people. And it doesn't matter that much whether it's a past life or something stored in the DNA. And what I'm saying is, yeah, I get that. And if you're getting a good outcome, it doesn't matter. But then if you're looking at like a core belief or religious dogma, and I will use that as a dogma because
yes.
I think certain elements of religion are dogmatic. Like, I think it matters if you're going to say, okay, well, I believe that, like, you know, Jesus Christ died for me, so I don't have to like keep on living this life death recycle over and over again.
Yes, and I think that's fair. And so I work with people of all faiths. I work with people of no faith. And so that's part of our when we talk about it, where do you live on your spiritual continuum? Where are you comfortable? Because if I tell you something that may resonate with me and that's what I'm seeing, but you're saying, hell no, your body's already breaking, shutting down to the possibility of that potential shift.
Right. And for me, as people know, if they've heard me talk about COVID and vaccines and stuff like that, I'm so open-minded about stuff. And, when you were working with me last night, and my sons and my wife, we were all just intrigued and enthralled by the whole process. And I know if we would have started talking about the underlying dogma behind it all during that process, it definitely would have gummed up the process.
Yeah.
But for me, I was just thinking about that last night. So I wanted to mention it. It's something that's on my mind.
I think that's fair. And I think ultimately what I'm seeing is something in your field that tells, maybe I'm being told a story, but it's a story that's relevant to how there's an interference in your field, right?
And so tonight, when you say, okay, Ben, let's go in and find out a little bit more about that interference, is it a matter of you guiding me and me sitting down and just imagining back in the day, or how does that actually work?
So there has I call it the practice of the practice. So it's just not going to flip a switch immediately. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it takes practice. So we'll put together actually a little bit of homework for you to move through listening. There'll be a meditation that I'll provide for you. There's also going to be homework in terms of where is this and visualizations.
I hate homework,
sorry,
but I'll do it. I know the whole integration piece.
The integration piece is really important. It's got to be integrated more than just once.
I'm joking. I don't hate homework. I think integration is more important than the experience itself.
Exactly.
When it comes to something like plant medicine, for example.
Exactly. So the integration is really key. And so the integration, just like with my clients, is very bio-individualized. So people ask me, what's going to be my integration? Well, it depends on how you're going to integrate best. Right? And for you, visualization, because you're very visual. Also, the practice of movement and how you move through, because what are we trying to have you experience? Flow, right? And it's not just Tai Chi flow. It's how we flow, how we move particle to wave.
So I'm not holding on to stuff and creating writing that isn't as meaningful as my writing actually could be.
There you go.
When I write a New York Times bestseller, I'm going to totally give you credit for opening up my writing portals. Because I'll be honest with you, and this would be interesting for folks to hear. In the past, I've found that my best writing comes if I'm really, truly dissolved in a plant medicine state.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's where, and I have to use a digital recorder because you can't write when you're on 5 grams of psilocybin or whatever. But the stream's open and I get, half the articles I write, I get ideas from during something like plant medicine. I'll do that, on a quarterly basis.
Yeah.
And come out of that with 20 different articles journaled out with ideas for them. But of late, and I was sharing this with you last night,
yes,
I haven't really been called to doing that type of journeying. You shared with me, you've never done plant medicine.
I have never done plant medicine.
But you get these downloads all the time. And now I'm getting up in the morning and I spend 30 to 60 minutes every morning now just walking and talking with God and opening myself up to what God would have to say to me. And I'm getting downloads every day now that I thought before I had to basically, this is going to sound bad, but take drugs to get. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. And I believe that plant medicine has a really big space in our world. I also believe it's a bridge, but it's not the ultimate bridge, because ultimately what I do with my clients that I work in this space is I teach them to go direct, right? So we can go direct in real time, capture those fruits of that wisdom, just like Mozart did. And so it is teachable. I work with some really, really interesting, influential individuals, which I can't name, but the way that I see the beauty of their evolution, it just brings me to tears in terms of because their impact is so big.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So tonight we're going to do that. And what I want to do is I want to make sure people have some resources and some direction here. So I'll put all this at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Terry, T-E-R-Y, and I'll link to the previous podcast that we did. But basically for a practitioner, can you send me a website that I could link to there where they could go and learn more about how to learn the Cochrane Method?
Yes.
And then for the people listening in who maybe they want to do the Skype thing with you, or they want to do the muscle testing or whatever, you have a link people could go to
yes,
be able to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
So for the practitioners, I have launched a second company called the Global Sustainable Health Institute. That is bringing the Cochrane Method to scale. We're still in beta testing. Be patient with us. I have a list of doctors that are shadowing us for the next 6 months, and they're part of our beta. But we're very honored to have them see the work. For individual consults at the biochemical level. That is terrycochran.com, myself or my naturopath. Also be patient with us. We have a multiple month waiting list, but you can see Dr. Carla sooner. And for this very special work, it is very highly, highly, it's by invitation only. I have a very small cadre because the work is very...
The very special work, meaning...
This work in the quantum.
Okay, so like the stuff we were doing last night is just like crazy far out. Well, we have a lot of people listening in who like to get into the crazy far out stuff, who also like to, I guess, I don't know any other way to say this, like spend money on the crazy far out stuff. So I'm sure some people will be reaching out. But for any of you who have questions, because I realize we got into some of the woo and also some of like the provable scientific nutrigenomics type of stuff. But I know you guys probably have questions. So go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Terry, T-E-R-I, and you can jump in with your comments and your questions and your feedback there. And then what I'll also do is link to the Wildatarian book and the whole diet podcast Terry and I did, if you just want to geek out on more on her nutrition philosophy, as she's also, like, I incorporate some of her stuff in my cookbook, in the new Boundless Cookbook.
It's awesome.
Shameless plug. You got a copy, right?
I did.
Because you're in
sure
it.
Did.
And so Terry's just wonderful. And again, like, you know, for me, like, and don't be offended, Terry, if I would have just like run into you, like in an airport and you told me what you did, I would be like, woo radar. But then when I've got like a bunch of like doctors who are steeped in science sending me research studies every day, and they're like, oh, by the way, I worked this amazing lady, Terry, and she like totally changed my supplementation program, my life, my impact, my purpose, my ears perk up. So I just want everybody to know, like, Terry comes highly recommended. I've kind of vetted her, and she's legit. Even though some of this stuff sounds kind of woo, I would challenge you to proceed with an open mind, because, I mean, heck, when I was shining laser lights on my balls 7 years ago before everybody thought it was cool, you know, that was also kind of woo, but now people are realizing there might be something to that. So anyways, though, Terry, you're even more impactful than shining infrared light on testicles. So thank you for
so
who
much.
You are. Thank you for what you do. And I guess I hope you're ready for an amazing day today, because I'm probably going to throw you in a cold pool and feed
you fish.
Oh,
boy. Here we go.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. Thanks for listening in. Check out bengreenfieldfitness.com/TERI, and I'll catch you on the flip side.
In compliance with the FTC guidelines, please assume the following about links and posts on this site. Most of the links going to products are often affiliate links, of which I receive a small commission from sales of certain items, but the price is the same for you, and sometimes I even get to share a unique and somewhat significant discount with you. In some cases, I might also be an investor in a company I mention. I'm the founder, for example, of Keon LLC, the makers of Keon-branded supplements and products, which I talk about quite a bit. Regardless of the relationship, if I post or talk about an affiliate link to a product, it is indeed something I personally use, support, and with full authenticity and transparency, recommend in good conscience. I personally vet each and every product that I talk about. My first priority is providing valuable information and resources to you that help you positively optimize your mind, body, and spirit. And I'll only ever link to products or resources, affiliate or otherwise, that fit within this purpose. So there's your fancy legal disclaimer.